Joining us in studio now is Rice County Attorney John Fossum. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Jeff. How are you today?
Good. How about you?
Good.
Before we start, we have to wish your wife, Tracy, a very happy birthday today.
Yeah, happy birthday to Tracy. And
should you be making breakfast right now, or is it?
She doesn't like it when I make breakfast, so I don't think I should.
What's wrong with Cocoa Puffs? Yeah. We've got a few things we want to talk about today with, once again, Rice County Attorney John Fossum. Let's talk about a case. A case of a kind of a career criminal that Terry had a story on last week. He's been arrested again. His name is Wayne. Is it Pexa?
Pexa,
did I get that
yes.
Right? Tell us that about that saga. I guess it would be.
Wayne is a guy who's been involved in drugs and drug dealing and just kind of a criminal lifestyle for a very long time. Really, more than 30 years. He's 61 years old, and we had another. We had another case with him, a first-degree controlled substance case, which went to trial last week. Wayne represented himself, and one of my lawyers, Brian Martinson, tried the case. Wayne was convicted of first-degree controlled substance crime, and so he'll likely be going to prison for 5, 6, maybe 7 years, based on his criminal history. Most of his criminal history points have fallen off because he hasn't committed many. He hasn't had many crimes in the last several years. He's just kind of a long career, kind of low level offender. Every now and then he gets involved in something bigger, and this is one of those things. And so Wayne's. I think Wayne's clearly got some mental health issues as well. Mm-hmm. But he continues to use, and he continues to sell, and he continues to be involved in criminal activity and be kind of the hub of a group of people. And so he was, that's where conviction was appropriate and prison will be appropriate, because he creates this kind of storm of criminal activity that follows him around.
You had mentioned that some of his offenses have kind of fallen off. The state sentencing guidelines it's kind of a scale. The more crimes you commit, the more time you're going to do in the end, theoretically. Is there a statute of limitations for those? How do those guidelines work?
Well, the way it works is that you get points for your felony crimes based on the level of the crime, but it doesn't count crimes that happened or where you are off paper, have been off probation for more than 15 years or 15 years or longer.
Okay.
So, but it's the date of offense that controls that. So mm-hmm. If you have been off paper for 16 years and you commit a new offense, then that doesn't count. If you commit a crime after 15 years and it takes 2 years to resolve, it doesn't matter. That doesn't change the offense level. So that's where it makes a difference. So a lot of Wayne's crimes date back before the turn of the century, and so they won't count against him in criminal history points, but I think it's 1 or 2 points.
Okay. Once again, John Fossum is with us, Rice County Attorney. There's another case involving Derek Dardis. Update us on this.
Derek Dardis is he's a disabled gentleman, threatened his father with a knife and a gun, and the public defender believes there's some mental health issues there and has requested an evaluation. So there will be an evaluation as to his competency to proceed or to be criminally responsible for what happened. So that's what we're waiting for on that case. That'll be we'll have to see what the doctor says.
In each case, we have you on here monthly, pretty much, and we'll talk about some of the cases. And some of the cases, almost all of them, have to do with mental health issues. And, boy, that is just a problem that's not going to go away. It's going to get a lot better or a lot worse before it gets any better at all. Is there any, you hear a lot of talk from folks at the Capitol and such about addressing it, and, boy, it just never seems to get done, or at least not a whole lot seems to be getting done. What's the latest situation on that?
Well, I know I've talked with local legislators. I've talked with legislators and people seeking office federally about funding for mental health issues, and you know, I think there's much more awareness of the need for community mental health, and much more awareness of the fact that we need to do something other than put people in jail and prison because of mental health issues. But we're still lacking facilities. There are not facilities to place people. And these facilities can be dangerous. I mean, you have people who are difficult and violent, like some of the people we were just talking about. It can be difficult and violent and go off on someone. And so when we have these, even when we have the locked facilities in Anoka and St. Peter, there tend to be assaults. There tend to be bad things that happen in there because the people that are there are not stable. They're not well. And they can be really dangerous. And so it's a difficult job. People don't always want that job. And it's hard to find those facilities, and it's hard to find the funding for them. I've had a lot of conversations over the last couple of years with the people who control the purse strings to see if we can find some money to put into it, but I don't feel like I'm a whole lot closer than I was 4 years ago.
Yeah, you know, that's the political appetite to get that done. There's always, you know, you have so much money to spend. To get elected, you want to spend it on something that the people can see, you know. But mental health is not, you know, facilities like that, they cost a lot of money, I'm sure. And there's not always the direct benefit that the public sees. It seems like in recent years, with media reports and such, the public is seeing more of that. Maybe that appetite will change. You don't feel like there's any type of change at all in the willingness for politicians to get this done?
Well, I think...
Is it all politicians? Is it all about politics?
Well, what I'd say is the need is great. And when the need is great, it gets kind of overwhelming. And what we've done over the last couple of years, we've reduced the beds at St. Peter. We've reduced the beds at Anoka. We've gotten rid of the state hospital in Willmar. We've gotten rid of other state hospitals where we used to have placements to put people who couldn't be controlled and needed treatment. Without those placements, those people have to sit somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's our jail. Sometimes it's prison. And, I think the problem is overwhelming in terms of how do you really deal with it? How do we find community mental health? And I've worked, talked to the social services. We worked with our social services director. We have a lot of programs that we're working towards to see if we can find placements, but we don't have I don't see anything changing in the next couple of weeks or months.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to, it's an ongoing problem that requires, I think, good faith and effort from legislators, from judges, from prosecutors, from defense attorneys, and from mental health professionals. And maybe together we can all find something that will work that meets the goal that people set when they started reducing the populations in the state hospitals towards community mental health. And finds those community mental health beds, because really what we have done is we have reduced the locked beds, reduced the state hospital beds, but there hasn't been any countervailing increase in capacity in community mental health facilities, and in Rice County and lots of the outstate counties. There just aren't any. There aren't places to send people.
Yeah, this leads into my next question. From a geographical standpoint, what is available to somebody that enters, you know, the criminal justice system because of a mental illness, they're on the wrong end of the law, or even you'd mentioned you'd talked to some social services. A lot of these people have not committed a crime yet, but they certainly have exhibited, may have exhibited some very, alarming signs of mental illness. From a geographical standpoint, if somebody enters that system in Rice County, where do they go to?
And I think you've kind of touched on part of the problem is not only is it, there isn't a place to put them, the real issue is if they don't want help and they don't meet the standard for commitment, there isn't any kind of help available for people who don't want help and who haven't been committed by a court.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of hole we have at the moment. You know, if they don't volunteer for help and don't want help, and their mental health continues to deteriorate because they're not getting help, they're not looking for help, we're stuck.
Mm-hmm.
There's really nothing we can do because people are entitled to due process, and we can't lock people up if they're not, if they don't meet that standard of commitment, if they're not a danger to them, to themselves or others, there's no place for them. And if they don't want help, and they don't come in for voluntary help, and people watch them deteriorate and watch their mental health deteriorate because they're not getting treatment, there's really nothing we can do if no one can talk them into getting help when they don't want it.
Mm-hmm. They don't want it, and even if they do, in a lot of cases, it's just not available.
Well, yeah, and So, I mean, there's huge problems. The problem is large, but... I think, you know, all we can do is start nibbling at the edges and try and find first thing we would need to do is find a place where we can have beds, where we can have people who are not so dangerous they need to be in a state hospital,
mm-hmm.
and not have them in jails and prisons, and not have those be our mental health treatment centers.
Yeah, boy, for a new treatment center, I wonder how much that would cost. That's got to be tens of millions of dollars you're talking.
Well, I suppose it depends on the scale and mm-hmm. the scope and whether it's a locked facility or not a locked facility. And,
mm-hmm.
So I think... That's a different line of work.
All right. We can talk about that for quite some time, but running out of time. And I want to talk to you about prom. Lastly, it's coming up this weekend for Northfield here. I don't know if there's been where Faribault and some of the other schools around the area are at with their prom, but ours is coming up on Saturday night. And for the kids out there, it's a good night to be safe.
That's right.
You bet. Have fun and be safe.
Absolutely. You want to be able to remember this the rest of your life, and the best way to do that is to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
And Northfield's having their after prom party at Jesse James Lane's on Saturday night after the prom. And I think Faribault's prom is the following week, the 19th, and they're having their after prom party at the high school afterwards. Mm-hmm. So both of them are doing those after prom parties, which is a great way for people to stay safe and have fun and
yeah,
and avoid the problems.
It's neat that they have a place to go to. So hats off to Terry and Julie Heilman down at Jesse James Lane's for making their facility available. I know the kids have fun there. The parents really spend a lot of time working on some good, healthy fun for the kids that is still fun, and they can have a good time. So it's a real good thing. All right.
That's a great deal.
Anything else, John?
No, thank you for... letting me come in today.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming in. We certainly appreciate it. I wish your wife a happy birthday. Happy birthday, Tracy. And we'll see you next month.
All right. Thanks a lot.
John Fossum, Rice County Attorney.